I'm glad to see all of you here tonight and that I once again have the opportunity to preach to you. As you can see up on the PowerPoint, tonight I want to look at the story of Daniel and the lion's den and see how the things in that story apply to our lives today and what we can learn from it. I just want to start out by reading a little bit of the beginning of the story so we get a sense of when this story happens. Daniel 6, 1 through 3 says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, and the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." So we see in this story there's a man named Daniel, whom the story is about. This is in the time of, I believe it's the Persians, Medes and the Persians, that had taken over Babylon. And so that's kind of where our story is that we're going to be reading from tonight. And if you're following along in the Bible, you might want to mark your place here in Daniel 6. We'll be coming back to it quite a bit. So let's read a little bit more. Daniel 6, 4 through 5 says, "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of God." So the first thing we see about Daniel here in this story is that he was blameless. These princes and presidents, they hated him. And they wanted to find anything against him that they could use against him to make him lose favor. And it says they could find none occasion nor fault. Because that's how he was. He was blameless. And we can learn from that. 1 Peter 3:16 says, "Having a good conscience, that wherein, as they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you, your good conversation in Christ." This here is talking about us living a life where people have to make up stuff if they want to talk bad about us. Let's not give them ammunition to use against us, because that's just giving them a reason not to listen to what we have to say and for them to take things away from us. We need to live a life that is blameless before God. Matthew 5:11 says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." This verse tells us that we're blessed when that happens to us. It's a good thing if people have to make up stuff about us to talk bad about us, because that means we're doing something right. If they don't like us, and they look and look and look, just like when they looked at Daniel, and they don't find anything, they're going to have to make something up. Let's live a life that provides that. Luke 23:1-2 talks about another example of this, and it says, "And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king." They did the same thing with Jesus. They couldn't find anything that was actually wrong with him. So they had to make stuff up to get him in trouble. Same thing with Paul, same thing with many of the apostles and prophets. They had to make this stuff up because these people lived good lives. They couldn't find anything else wrong with them, and we need to strive to be like that in our daily life. Next thing we see about Daniel is that he was faithful. Daniel 6:6-9 says, "Then these presidents and the princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, king, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree." So we see that these men, they couldn't find anything wrong with him, but they knew that Daniel prayed every day. And so that's how they decided they're going to get him, is that they're going to go to the king and petition to have this sign, this law made, where if anyone praised or, you know, worships any being or god or anything other than the king, that they got thrown in the lion's den. So what does Daniel do? We'll look at that in a moment. I'm getting ahead of myself here. John 15, 18 through 19 says, "If the world hate ye, know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." You know, these people hated Daniel, as I mentioned, because he was favored above the others, because he lived that good life. There was something different about him, and it was noticed, and the way that he lived was profitable to the king, and he was set above the others because of that. And because he was different, and because we're different, and we should be from the world hates us, as it hated Christ, as it hated the apostles, because we're different. We live a life and we tell them, you know, these things are wrong because the Bible says so. God says these are wrong, and they don't like that. So what should we do in those situations if we're persecuted, people don't like us, all those things? Let's look at what Daniel did now. "Now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God." What did Daniel do as soon as he heard that decree had been signed? What he had been doing before. Didn't matter that the law of the land had changed. His priorities were to follow his God and follow what was right. And he didn't do it in secret. We see he did it 3 times a day. He prayed and gave thanks with his windows being open. It's not like he hid and did it in secret. He wasn't going to hide the fact or change what he did because other people didn't like him or it wasn't what was popular at the time, or in this case, it was against the law for the time. He just did what he had done before, which was follow his God. And we see what happened because of that. Daniel 6, 12 through 13 says, "Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petitions 3 times a day. So we see these men catch him, and because of that, he is reported to the king. And we see further in the story where he is going to be thrown into that lion's den. Let's read Acts 5, 27 through 9, where it says, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men." Now we see Daniel disobeying the law of the land, and we obviously know in the Bible we're commanded to follow our government. But when there comes a time that those two conflict, we see here in Acts 5 what we should do. And Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." No matter what's going on in the world around us, no matter what people say they're going to do to us, what people persecute us with, our priority should be on following God, as always, because his word is what's going to matter. Daniel 6, 16 through 17, as well as verses 20 through 23, says, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, and the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And when he came to the den," moving to verse 20 now, after the night had passed, "and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto David, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouth that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and they commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. We see here that because of his faith and because he was righteous, he was protected by God. Now, we're going to look at a few verses about this. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also hath suffered for his sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Now, Daniel here, obviously, because of his faith in God, was protected in a physical manner. But we as Christians today aren't promised that same thing. In fact, we're promised the opposite, that we're going to be persecuted. But we have a different protection, a different salvation, and that is that Christ has washed away our sins. We don't have to bear the burden of those sins. We see this also in Galatians 1:3-4. "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, whom gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." Christ died for our sins so that he could deliver us from that punishment, just like God saved Daniel from the den of lions. But there's a little bit more to the story if you read on. We see that the evil were punished in this. And it says, Daniel 6:24, "And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, wherever they came at the bottom of the den." And we see that these men who came and set this up so that Daniel would be persecuted, they got thrown in, and they didn't fare as well as Daniel. There was no protection for them. They didn't have that same protection. We see that their bones were broken before they even hit the floor. Now, once again, sin isn't immediately punished nowadays, but we do read there is a punishment. 2 Peter 3:4 says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." People say nowadays, you know, well, nothing's changed. You know, God's not coming back. It hasn't happened yet. It must not happen. And that's false. We read about that in Ecclesiastes 8:11-13. It says, "Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not God." Here we see that because these sins aren't immediately punished, they're not smitten by God the minute they sin, people just say, well, it must not going to be happening. So I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, and I'll be fine. And, you know, they don't change because of that. But we read that there is going to be an end to that. They're going to be punished on that last day. 2 Peter 2:4-9 tells us about that. It says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment." Just like we saw with Daniel, he knew how to save his own. He knew how to protect them. But God also knows how to punish. And we see that, you know, just because that doesn't happen immediately now, that judgment is reserved. He doesn't want anybody to have to face that judgment. That's why he sent his son to save us. But he is willing to dole it out if that need be. So I just want to review right quick what we talked about tonight. We looked at how Daniel was blameless and that they had to make stuff up about him to find fault with him. And that's how we should strive to be. We talked about how he had faith even though and followed through with that faith even though it wasn't popular, it wasn't legal at the time. He followed God's will, not his own, or not the will of man, excuse me. We looked at how God is going to protect those that serve him and how Daniel was protected from the lions and how we are protected from the judgment that the evil will face and that those evil people will be punished for their sins if they are not saved. So tonight, I would like to ask you to look at your life and see if you haven't been saved. We've talked about the punishment for that. Just like the wicked men in the story of Daniel in the lion's den were punished and thrown into that den, we read of a punishment for the sins that we commit if we are not saved. But as we read, Christ washed away those sins, and if you haven't accepted that tonight, we offer that opportunity. As well as for those that maybe have accepted that forgiveness of sins but have fallen off along the path somewhere along the way and need the help of the church, we ask that you please come and sit on the front pew while we stand and while we sing.